Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship in the ministry of bbfohio.com and our expository study of the book of Hosea. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, send those by email to bbfohio@protonmail.com. Or you can mail a letter along with any check or money order contributions to support this ministry. The Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. Donations can also be made at bbfohio.com using the PayPal donation button. We now begin this expository study of the book of Hosea. This is part 1 of 2.
Verses 9 through 16, right after our current events update, brought to you by BiblesForSouthAmerica.com and BBFOhio.com. As you might have heard, Jill tried to ruin my current events update earlier. Rush Limbaugh, I'm kidding. We love Jill. If she were charismatic, she'd think she had the gift of foreknowledge. Rush Limbaugh has given an update on his cancer battle, and he says he can no longer deny he's under a death sentence. Some of you didn't know, I think it's in January, he originally let people know he'd been diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer. Sadly, they didn't catch it until very late. He said this, according to Fox News, "It's tough to realize that the days where I do not think I'm under a death sentence are over." Limbaugh continued, and he went on to say some things. And he explained how he's handling the death sentence. "But here is what no mainstream news outlet, including the Roman Catholic Fox News, told you if you read their reports." Rush Limbaugh says his faith is giving him strength. "I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ." Amen. Now, I had heard that before, but I want to tell you something. I just have never understood how Christians excuse people who are in the public eye from normal Christianity. And that is, when I got saved, I wanted to tell the whole world. When people I know got saved, the real Christians that you know, they didn't keep it a secret. So that's very encouraging to me. Rush's brother, David Limbaugh, has been a Christian, professing open Christian. He's written books about Christians being persecuted and other things like that. But this is really nice to hear from Rush. What they didn't put in the news, in the other news outlets, was found. I found this on ChristianHeadlines.com. He said, "I mentioned at the outset of this," by the way, they took this direct from the transcript of his radio program. And she is an ear witness. And there's another ear witness. "I mentioned at the outset of this, the first day I told you, that I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ." And he went on to say, "There's some comfort in knowing that some things are not in our hands. There's a lot of fear associated with that too, but there is some comfort. It's helpful to be able to trust and to believe in a higher plan." So I'm just very happy to hear that. Now, the response of liberals and even some unsaved conservatives like Michael Savage was just disgusting. Michael Savage is an unsaved Jew, and he's a conservative. But he was complaining about Rush whining about his cancer and that kind of thing. It's just ridiculous. It's like, if you want people to think conservatives don't have a soul, say stupid stuff like that. Savage. But to his credit, I mean, Michael Savage is normally not that stupid. I guess I got to give him credit, but in this case, he was stupid. Rush may or may not die before the rapture. And I don't know his theology, but I hope Rush is aware that at any moment, we could all be out of here. And I just want to, make a point in this current events update of, you know, Rush or anybody you know or you yourself, I have what's called a chronic illness. Will eventually be terminal if I don't die of something else beforehand. But right now it's not been declared terminal. Terminal is when they say, yeah, it's down to the last stages and there's nothing else we can do. I'm not there yet as far as I know, and some days I feel like I'm getting close, and then days like today I feel a whole lot better. But it's funny how Sundays and Wednesdays are usually the days I feel better. But the stage is set. We haven't gone over these in a while, and I've actually done whole messages on them, but I'm not going to take that much time. But when you see the world going towards socialism, that is setting the stage for the Antichrist, who will have a world government that will require everybody to show their allegiance to him and accept him as God, and that will include the mark of the beast. But you can't have any of that if the world's not falling in line with this socialist mindset. And that's exactly what we're seeing. This younger generation includes many in my own family, many of my friends and their children, you see it in their children and the younger people, nieces and nephews of people I know who are in this younger generation from about, from 18 on up to about 35, 40, it's really bad. But I'm here to tell you, I'm 50, and a lot of the people I went to school with are sucked into this stuff, you know. Well, it's all setting the stage. Gun control, except in this country, has disarmed everybody to the point that they will be able to control people and take them off into camps or whatever they want to do. Mexico's very much, unless you're in the military, the police, or one of their gangs. And the rest of the people are, that's why the gangs have such an easy time with people. And that's what happened to any country that confiscates the guns. The government and the crooks are the only people that have any power. You are at their, their mercy. That's right. Well, we also see digital global currencies. And the fact that there's a bunch of them, and now there's Bitcoin and other things like that means nothing. All those can be brought together using the computer technology. All they have to do is make a few tweaks, and they'll probably come up with a brand new name, and everyone will have to trade under this currency. But I heard of a prophecy teacher, he was a Bible teacher teaching on prophecy, but he was talking about how, you know, it's not even necessary. The Bible doesn't say there'll be one currency. It just says you'll have to have a mark. And so that mark could control the dollar, the yen, and, the Canadian dollar, all these different currencies. It's all in place. And we take this for granted. But you realize for about 1900 years up until 1948, this was thought to be impossible. And up to about 1880, it was so thought to be so impossible. But that's the reason why people like Martin Luther and John Calvin and people going all the way back to the early church didn't want to believe in the millennium and other things, because part of that is this idea of the Jews being brought back to Israel. And it was thought to be such an impossibility that they thought there's no way that can be literally true. And then it became literally true. Don't go with your opinions, your thoughts, you know, go with the Bible. His thoughts are much higher than ours. His power is much more than we can even imagine. He can do what he's going to do. And they're hated globally, just like it was predicted would happen right up to the time Jesus returns. And then you see this Sodomite culture. Jesus was talking about the whole world when he said that it'd be as it was in the day of Noah, which was wicked, and there was violence, and their thoughts were evil continually. And he also said it would be as it was during the days of Lot, which was in Sodom, and only he and his daughters escaped. And the message to us, Jesus says, remember Lot's wife. Well, that's fitting, because I believe Lot's wife pretty much pictures apostate Christianity. And they are in love with the world. And like Lot's wife, they will be destroyed. But everywhere around the world today, like last year or year before, even in West Virginia, they're having gay month, gay pride parades and everything. I mean, it doesn't matter what part of the world you go to, you're seeing this. It's pervasive. Then you have an apostate world religion, which just means that there's a version of Christianity that is in bed with the whore in Rome. But if you could look at any number of recent events, numerous times over the last few years, where they've had world religious gatherings where the leaders of the world's religions have gotten together, and right in the dead center of it is the Pope. And I have taught on that in the past. We're going to teach on it again because time flies. I didn't realize it's been like 7 years since I taught on it. That the final Pope will be the Antichrist. The popes are all Antichrist in as far as the spirit of the papacy. And they will be, that last Pope will be the head of this apostate world religion. Well, you can see the stage is set for that. Every time you have these ecumenical world religious gatherings, there you have the Pope right in the middle of it. And then you have, yeah. Yeah, what they didn't tell anybody, not that that's not important, but he's always said that. I don't know why they're making it, because there's a documentary where he says it. But the Pope for years, even before he was Pope, when he was in Argentina, this present Pope endorsed what they call civil unions for gay couples, sodomites. And so the news made a big deal about him saying it in a documentary, which is, I guess, a good reminder of where he stands. But that's part of... Yeah, it's a sodomite cult. I mean, their priesthood around the world is full of sodomites. Their churches are full of sodomites. As long as they don't come flaunting it in the congregation, in the buildings, they can flaunt it all they want elsewhere. But as long as they just sit down, they can sit as a couple and everything, and no one says anything. They welcome as because they want people to come. That's why God calls it the whore. That's why. It's a demonstration. But lukewarm Christianity, in addition to the apostate world religions, most of the churches in Franklin County, Ohio, are satanic. Most of the churches in the United States of America are satanic. They reject the Bible as their authority, just like Lucifer. They preach a false gospel, which Galatians says means they're cursed. They deny the deity of Jesus Christ. They deny the Trinity. They deny that Jesus is the only way to heaven. I take you to churches all over this town and all over Franklin County and all over the United States of America. And I'm just talking about among Christianity. Over in England and Europe and those places, you can't hardly find a church like this anymore. I mean, they're almost unheard of in certain parts of the world. And that's all setting the stage, Revelation chapter 3 in the Laodicean church. And finally, I just mentioned there's more, but just as to give you this final point, then moving on, is the global news media. The brainwashing of the masses that's taking place right now. And anybody who thinks they're getting news on the mainstream news channels is brainwashed. I mean, they are completely out of their minds. I mean, you can't be that stupid without having a spirit behind it. You can watch TV. Jenny and I, every once in a while, we're turning it on, and it's amazing. There's hardly anything they talk about now that doesn't have an anti-Christ, anti-Constitution, pro-world government, pro-sodomite message to it. And that's all part of it. And the reason the word global matters is because, you know, when the two witnesses are... killed and they lie in the street, that the whole world will look upon them. Well, we know not everybody's going to catch a plane and go over there. So the idea of a global news media sets the stage for that, and on it goes. So, Rush, we pray for him. We pray for anyone going through those things, and you may not die. Every day you live is a possibility you may go in the rapture. Luke 12:40, after telling everybody all this, what has to do with the end times, Jesus said, "Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not." Amen. And that's where it looks like we're there. There are very few people really looking for the Lord. And that's your current events update. All right, Hosea 13. We're going to finish our study of chapter 13, verses 9 through 16. And, of course, this is talking about Israel in apostasy, pretty much where the professing church of Jesus Christ, not the real church, the professing church is in apostasy. The real church is simply made up of those not in apostasy who are true Christians. And we wind down chapter 13, leaving only one more chapter, and we'll be done with our study of Hosea. It's been very gratifying. Dozens of people have either told me or I had a couple of phone calls, got some emails and such, telling me they've never had this kind of a study through the little book of Hosea. And we're just going to keep on going through the books of the Bible. And if you like this, then stick around until the rapture. Or the Lord takes me out, but no sign of that anytime soon. And we're wrapping it up, coming down to about 720 B.C. It's about where we're at. And that's when, as we approach 720 B.C., is when Assyria comes down and destroys Israel and takes Israel, who they don't kill, they take captive. And there's many others that were scattered, ran. And that it's an ugly, ugly scene, according to what we know from historians and the like. So let's go ahead and read verses 9 through 16. I'm going to ask you to read the even numbers with me. I'll start in verse 9. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. I will be thy king. Where is any other that may save thee in all thy cities? And thy judges of whom thou saidst, give me a king and princes. I gave thee a king in mine anger and took him away in my wrath. The iniquity of Ephraim is bound up, his sin is hid. The sorrows of a travailing woman shall come upon him. He is an unwise son, for he should not stay long in the place of the breaking forth of children. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from mine eyes. Though he be fruitful among his brethren, an east wind shall come, the wind of the Lord shall come upon, come up from the wilderness, and his spring shall become dry, and his fountain shall be dried up. He shall spoil the treasure of all pleasant vessels. Samaria shall become desolate, for she hath rebelled against her God. They shall fall by the sword. Their infants shall be dashed in pieces, and their women with child shall be ripped up. All God's people say amen.
Amen.
And you can say amen. You're glad that that's not the last verse of this book. But we pick up where we left off in our previous study as it sets the tone and the context there in verse 9. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. And rejecting the Lord and His Word is spiritual suicide. And then he says, but in me is thine help. So what follows requires biblical discernment. And that's why I just ask you that if you're not familiar with these things, that you don't give up if you're not understanding everything. Take what you learn tonight. Make note of it and continue to learn. Because the Bible says in Hebrews 5:14, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Folks, let me just be I'm just being real with you. Very few Christians I've ever met have any discernment. And it always is the fact that it's because they have not read the Word. They have not studied the Word. And there's some Christians I know who are very familiar with two or three books of the Bible, and that's it. Others who aren't really familiar with books of the Bible, but they're familiar with 20 or 30 verses that they've had on coffee mugs and t-shirts and calendars and the like. Very few Christians have taken Jesus seriously when he says man should not live by bread only, but by every word of God. Every word which proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Every word. Now, there's only one place where you find every word.
Amen.
Outside of this, you don't know whether it's God's word or not. But right here is every word that he has given us. And so all it takes is, you know, according to how fast you read, 15, 20 minutes, up to 30 minutes. And you can read through our calendar or one like it and go through the Bible. If you can't, if you say, oh, that's just too much, fine. Go through the Bible every 2 years then. In 10 years, you'll go through it 5 times. Either way, go through the Bible, every word, and then study on your own, and then do what you're doing tonight. And if you just do that, then you will have a good level of knowledge to discern both good and evil. Until then, you know, don't beat yourself over the head. There's nothing you can do about the past. But recognize where you're at. It's like me right now. You may not believe this, but the year that Jenny and I got married, I was bench pressing 250 pounds. And I was using about 150 pounds to do my reps. And I was doing all kinds of heavy lifting that to me, it wasn't, you know, I was able to do it. It obviously didn't hurt me. There were other people who would look at it and they say, wow, man, I haven't done that for years. Well, at 35 years old, I was still doing that. Hit your fast forward button. If I try to do that now, I'll die. So what do? I recognize my limitations. I was running 2 and 3 miles a day. I can't run 200 or 300 yards. I mean, at that pace I was using then, my lungs are just, they can't do it. So what am I saying? I'm not just saying Greg's a slob. What I'm saying is you better recognize your limitations because then you can act wisely. You see, what makes you a fool isn't that you don't know the Bible the way you ought to. What makes you a fool is being unwilling to try to learn it and not recognizing your limitations. We have had more than a couple of dozen fools come through that door not knowing the Bible, and yet coming in here within 1 or 2 visits trying to straighten me out. Now, if I need it straightened out, that's fine. But the things they're trying to straighten me out on is how we shouldn't support Israel. We shouldn't believe in the pre-trib rapture. We shouldn't be King James Bible only. You know, all these things they're wrong about. But you know what they all have in common? They're ignorant. I'm not saying that to be mean. I'm saying that as a matter of fact. They would face off with me. And then when I would ask them simple Bible questions related, they didn't have a clue. They were assuming a position and trying to be a teacher, and they didn't know enough to be doing either. That's what made them a fool. And all I'm telling you tonight is don't be a fool. Recognize where you are in your walk with the Lord. And don't try to act like somebody who's not there and is way further down the line. And do what you need to do to try to get there. What's gotten me in trouble a few times is the fact that when I deal with somebody, I don't insist they be where they ought to be. I recognize where they are and try to help them to get where they ought to be. Well, a lot of Christians are very impatient. And when they see somebody who's been a Christian for 10 or 15, 20 years, and that Christian really isn't more than a year or two old in the Lord as far as their spiritual development, then they get real snippy with them and everything. But you know what I understand? That isn't anybody who attends here. It's somebody new. And I don't then assume that if they've been saved for 10 or 15 years, I assume that they haven't ever really been taught, because in 30 years of ministry, that's what I always find.
That's right.
So when someone comes through the door and they say, oh, well, I was saved in 1968. And I say, wow, you were saved before I was even born. I still expect that they're going to be an infant. And most times they are. Spiritually, I mean. Why? Because I've been around. I've been in the churches. I've talked to the people. They're not learning. They're not growing. That's what produced apostasy in Israel. They lacked Bible knowledge. They lacked wisdom. And they lacked discernment. Even when they would have a period of revival, do you know they still would go to the groves? That's like you and I hanging out and talking, and you know, me and Doug talking, hanging out and say, hey, what'd you do this week? Oh, Thursday night I went down to the Catholic Church where they had a Marian worship service, and I bought mass for my dead relatives. You know, I'd be like, why are you doing that? You're saved and you're in a Bible-believing church. You shouldn't be doing that. Just for the record, he didn't do that. But that's what it would be like. Wouldn't you be shocked if anybody in this room told you that's what they... What are you doing Saturday night? Oh, we got mass and bingo. Why are you going to mass and playing bingo? Well, that's what Israel was doing. Listen, folks, I'm telling you, you'll be shocked how many of your friends who go to what used to be sound Bible-believing churches are all caught up in the casinos now. And they're playing the lottery, you know, 50 bucks a week or whatever. Don't have enough. They can't tithe. But they got money for that. And they're watching the sodomite TV programming. And they'll go to rock concerts that they're, you know, whatever are called Christian. And, I mean, I could go on and on. I'm telling you, when I read about what we're seeing in Hosea with Israel, I just think that's what we're seeing in America today. Among the professing Christians. I'm not talking about the world. So what's he say then in verse 10? First five words. Read those with me. I will be thy king. Now, what better thing? What could be better than God being your king? Nothing. And, you know, I fail, and I'm not anywhere near where I ought to be, but I when I wake up, I start my day, I want to do what the Lord says to do. I want to follow His word. I want to be in tune and in line with God as my king. And if everybody lived that way, we'd all still mess up. We're still human, but boy, wouldn't the world be a better place? Of course, Johnny, I quoted you Sunday, you know, saying something along those lines. Very true statement. But he says, where is any other that may save thee in all thy cities? You know why America's cities are burning? Because America's cities are hell holes. America's cities are complete cesspools given over to Satan. You can't hardly find a Bible-believing church in city limits these days. Cities are Sodom, with very few exceptions. I mean, I can start naming them. New York, Chicago, San Francisco, San Diego, Los Angeles, Austin, Houston. I mean, I could go on and on. All the major cities, Columbus, Cleveland, and Cincinnati's gotten as bad as those. They used to be a little more conservative, but not in the city anymore. The cities are pits. Where is any other? Nada. There's only one. And America, I just know reading my Bible, I don't expect America's going to turn to that one. Israel didn't. And that's why Assyria came down and destroyed it. America is heading that direction. Look over Psalm 20. In verse 7, if you there, read that. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. And you might say it another way to those today,